We have been looking at the book of 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, and today I will focus upon a single verse. I read this, many messages by Charles Spurgeon on this topic, and I thought it would be profitable to share this with us. The verse is verse 13, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Give attention to reading. And our subject today is how to read the Bible. How to read the Bible. You see, this attention that we must give is not just to reading any book. It is attention to reading the Word of God. And the apostle is giving counsel to Timothy, who is a young minister, and he's saying to Timothy, if you're going to be an effective minister, if you're going to be a help to the people, you need to be a person who reads much. You read the Word of God. The Word of God must be alive and stirred in your soul, Timothy. Timothy, it's not to be just knowledge stored up in your brain. It's not stale knowledge that you're giving to the people. It's God's Word, which is spirit and which is life. And then also our very lives show that show others the difference the truth makes and how the truth has shaped our lives. And how we used to walk one way, and now that the truth has come to us, we walk a different way. So not only must the preacher read the Word of God, not only Timothy read the Word of God, but every child of God must be one who orders his every step by the Word of God. And we must give our attention to reading, reading our Bibles, but not like the scribes and not like the Pharisees. They studied the Bible diligently. They made long lists of notes. They counted how many words there were. They counted where the midsection was. They knew this was the middle. This was, and they divided the scriptures. They learned all things about the books. And yet it was said, the Lord Jesus said, you understand not what you are reading. You do not understand the scriptures. You think you are learned, but you are not. And this diligence that they had in counting the letters and doing all that, it didn't really profit them. It profited them nothing. And for us too, if we just read mechanically the Bible, well, we might as well take a Greek New Testament and read it. It will go in one ear, out the other ear. It will profit nothing. It won't help us. So if we are going to read, number one, the Bible effectively, we need to understand what we read. And these scribes and doctors of the law, they didn't know the meaning. They didn't grasp the truth that was being said. They only knew the facts and the history, but they didn't understand the spiritual value of the Word of God. Understanding the spiritual value is the essence of reading our Bibles. We must grasp the spiritual content. Just reading mechanically, as I've said, produces nothing. Another example that I read was, well, if you are going to just read, you might as well hold your Bible upside down and try and read it upside down. You won't get much out of it, reading all the words backwards. It will mean nothing to you. Well, for many people, the Bible means nothing to them. They they can read a whole chapter, and they, after they've read the chapter, they say, I've done my duty, I've read the Bible, I've done something good. But it's not just the letter. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So it's not a matter about how many letters you can read. And this was the fault of the Pharisees. They just read the letters. And I once met a man. He really loved his Bible. And I was surprised. I said to him, do you have a Bible? And he had it wrapped up in a special cloth. And he opened the cloth. He said, yes, I've got a Bible. And then he kissed the Bible. Oh, he loved his Bible. But did he love the message that the Bible contained? Did he walk and do what the Bible said? No, it didn't profit him anything. There can be no practical bearing upon our character until we understand. So we all know, every one of us knows the importance of reading the Bible. We live in an age where there's so many books available, magazines, newspapers, everywhere, internet. You can't escape. There are books everywhere. And some people read the newspaper more diligently than they read their Bible. I went into a shop once in Narromoro, and it was early morning. I was trying to buy something. But the man was so engrossed in the Daily Nation that he didn't even see me come in. Oh, if only we would be that engrossed in the living Word of God, reading it that diligently. Every morning, that man couldn't wait for the newspaper. He would read it almost every page. Well, in previous generations, the Puritans, they placed much emphasis on reading the Holy Scriptures. And in the era of the Puritans, they didn't even allow many other books into their homes. They found it a library enough in the one book, the Bible, full of many books, and how they read their Bibles. Oh, how they read and consumed that word. And that word, that reading showed in their preaching. That reading showed in their witnessing. It was full of scripture. It was, they preached on one verse. And then they introduced a similar verse. Oh, they knew the scriptures. And then they introduced another verse, making their preaching brighter and brighter and clearer with the scripture. And that's what they did in those days. Those were the days of old that they did that. But I tell you, if we do that today, we will be far ahead of the majority of churches that exist. Oh, the Word of God brings us, lifts us far above the natural kind of speaking and the motivational kind of speaking, when our speaking is full of Scripture, full of the Word of God, shining brightly in a dark age. We hold fast to God's Word. Now, I'm coming to some real points in just a moment. I'm laying a foundation. This inspired exhortation that we have read in this verse, I read it once again, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. That's 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. So who, this is Timothy receiving instruction from the apostle. But it wasn't really the apostle saying to Timothy. It was the instruction of the Holy Spirit through the apostle. And the Lord was saying, Timothy, read the scripture. The Spirit of God is saying this through the apostle. And seeing that this is so important, I thought it would be helpful today to speak about some points on how to read God's word, that it may profit our souls. And here are seven helpful principles. I'm not sure we'll get through them all, but if we are going to read our Bibles effectively, these seven principles will surely help us. Number one, read with dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Read with dependence on the Holy Spirit. How often we open our Bibles to read, maybe it's been a day when we've been very busy, our minds are full of the activities of the day, and it's always good to pause at that point and be like Moses when he approached the burning bush. He took his shoes off his feet. He realized what I'm going to do now is holy. And we quieten our minds. We pray. We come before the God, our Lord and our God, before we open the holy book. And to realize that reading the Bible is a holy activity. I'm not just reading a newspaper. It's not an ordinary book. It's not just another book. This is God's holy word. And we pause and we bow our hearts, we bow our heads in prayer, and we ask for blessing upon this holy exercise. We ask the Lord to open the scriptures to us and make it clear to us. Do you know that most of us, when we are going to partake of a meal, do you not say grace? Do you not give thanks for that which you are about to eat? Yes, well, we should give thanks and we should come in prayer before we partake of the bread of heaven. We should make it a habit to do that. Before we eat, give thanks. It's a good practice to ask God's blessing on our spiritual food. And then I get my mind ready to receive. I get my mind in expectancy. It is with reverence that we read, never lightly, never glibly. It's with this frame of mind, reverence, that we taste the sweetness of God's word. And some people read a whole chapter, and then they are really pleased that they have managed to read so much, and they think, well, I've done what is good, and I've done what is proper, but they have not really gained anything from what they have read. And they have forgotten to ask the Holy Spirit to be the revealer of truth, the divine teacher. We must remember, in order to understand Scripture, we need to have the Holy Spirit to be the expositor. The best expositor of any book is the author himself. Now, supposing I had a book that I really didn't understand, maybe whatever the topic, but it just so happened that next door to where I lived lived the author of the book. Oh, I could run next door and I could say to him, "Sir, I have a question. Madam, I have a question. I don't understand this and this chapter. Can you please explain it?" And most authors would be very glad to explain to you. Well, Christian, that is exactly our position. The author of the Holy Scripture doesn't live next door to you. He lives in your heart And he's only a prayer away. When we can pray and ask him to expound to us and teach us that which he meant to say. And so this is sometimes when there's things that we cannot grasp, we must run to the author in prayer, who's always ready to explain to us. We need to not only read, but we need to feel the word's power. And how will that happen? Only by the power of the Holy Spirit. God's word is not just letters on a page. You see, if the Holy Spirit shines upon the word will reflect into my heart. The moon has no light, but the sunlight that shines on the moon reflects that light back to earth. And when God shines on the word of God, it reflects back to our hearts. And every time we open the pages of God's word, we look up to him and we ask him, Lord, shine on this portion of scripture that I'm about to read. I look up in prayer. Before I even open the Bible, I look up in prayer. And as my eyes are reading down the page, in my heart, I say, Lord, let me not skip over that passage. Grant me understanding. Oh, we ask the Lord, the precious teacher, the Holy Spirit, every step of the way, look up and pray that he may shine his light upon the word. And then, when I have finished reading my daily reading, I close my Bible and I pray and I ask and I take a moment to look up again and ask for blessing upon what I've read. And when we do read, we read God's word thoughtfully, remembering that he is the great author. Let me say something about study aids and commentaries written by other men. I'm not talking about, we'll come to that in a minute. Let me explain using the example of Philip, the Ethiopian. And the Ethiopian. Philip asked the Ethiopian eunuch whether he understood the prophecy of Isaiah. And he replied, how can I unless some man should guide me? Then Philip went up and opened to him the word of the Lord. So Philip expounded to the Ethiopian eunuch the word of the Lord. Now there are some people that refuse to be instructed by books or by men. Yet it's very clear that God has given some men great wisdom and great understanding and more light than others. And those that have much light, they have been given that light for the benefit of the church as teachers. And it's not God honoring to refuse that light. It is not God honoring. It is folly to say, I only accept directly from the word of God. No, we can receive through others. We can receive through people who are walking in truth and bear forth the fruit of the Spirit. And to have the thinking that I can only receive for myself directly from the Word of God, that's prideful, and it's refusing treasure just because it's in a clay pot. Oh, I can't take that treasure. It's in a clay pot, but it's still treasure. In today's modern age, I want to clarify saying this, in today's modern age on internet, we do, however, need to be careful. There are many so-called people who have revelations, and what they share is not sound, and what they share does not agree with the whole of Scripture. They've taken one word of Scripture and twisted it to make it say what they want it to say. So I'm not talking about listening to questionable speakers. I'm talking about listening to men who know the Scripture, who are grounded in the Scripture, men who walk in the fruit of the Spirit. If you want to know about a minister, just look at his private life. Is he glorifying God? Does he walk in righteousness and integrity? Is there the fruit in his life? And if there is no fruit, well, I would then be careful to listen or read what he writes. But I'm talking about reading reputable, established writings. Now, when I was at Bible school, they told us, they said, the most reliable writings are from the 1600s, the 1700s, the 1800s. Those are reliable writings, full of truth, full of integrity. But sadly, in the 1900s, questions came, downgrade controversy came, all sorts of compromise came. And now in the 20th, where we live today, there's so much compromise. Oh, we need to stick with the integrity of God's Word. So let's not be foolish. There are helpful books. God often uses these books to teach us. Let us always be humble and ready to receive however the Lord may choose to instruct us. Next, we have point number two, read and meditate. Read and meditate. Meditation deepens our understanding and gives us more spiritual nourishment. Spurgeon made a comment. He says he often finds himself getting a text and keeping it like a morsel or a sweet in his mouth all day under his tongue and tasting the savor of it all day, meditating on it all day long. Meditation means to think of it over and over again, continuously look at it from different angles. Now, the Word of God is like a diamond. It is a multifaceted diamond. And a diamond will give off flashes of color and beautiful lights, depending on the angle which you look at it from. If you look at it from this angle, you may see a blue light. If you look at it from this angle, you may see a white or a green or different color light. And it's the same with the Word of God. It will give off a multitude of light. The more we think about it, the more we look at it from different angles, the more we will get from it. We will be absolutely amazed how much truth is in one Bible verse. If we just would spend time thinking about it, meditating on it. Now, to meditate, it means to ponder. It means to chew it. You must chew it. You know, I once knew a horse. I knew of some people that had a horse. And this horse was very old, and its teeth were worn out. And it couldn't really grind the food. It would eat, it would bite the grass, pull the grass up, and then try to chew it, but the grass would just fall out of its mouth. And sadly, that horse got thinner and thinner and thinner, and it eventually had to be put down. And this is what can happen to a Christian. Oh, it's not a matter of just consuming 10 chapters a day. No, it's a matter of chewing them, of swallowing them, of digesting them, and letting them become part of your life and your walk and your everyday. And it will give you strength when you digest it and meditate upon it. So this is very important. If we are to be nourished, we will be more nourished the more we chew on God's word. Another example that I read about was the example of spices. We all know maybe rosemary or lavender or cinnamon. Well, they give off no perfume until you crush them. You can pick some rosemary and smell it. It doesn't really have a strong smell, but rub it in your hand, crush it a little bit, and it will give a sweet odor, a sweet perfume. And it's the same. We will experience the sweetness and the beauty of God's word when we crush it with meditation and thought, thinking about it over and over and over again. And God's word is, it will give off a wonderful fragrance. This is what meditation upon scripture does. It brings out the sweetness of God's word, the perfume of God's word. Now, I was reading in Psalm 119, and I counted seven times King David said, "I will meditate on thy word. I will meditate upon thy word. I will meditate upon thy precepts." And then I saw in the very first Psalm, Psalm 1, it says, day and night, he says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. So David is saying, I'll just give you a few of the points. I won't give you all seven. Concerning all my duties, concerning all my steps, I look to the master plan carefully and constantly, like a workman constantly looks to his measuring tape and to his building plan. I constantly look to your plan, Lord. And that's verse 15, Psalm 119, verse 15. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. Whatever I'm doing, I meditate on his precepts. I contemplate his ways. The next one, in all my many ways and all my many conditions, in all my affairs, in all my actions, when I lack understanding, what do I do? Verse 27, make me understand the way of your precepts, so shall I meditate on your wonderful works. Oh, when I have a lack of understanding, I just meditate on his wonderful works, on his wonderful words, and I get understanding. When my soul, the next one, when my soul melts from heaviness, what do? I cling to his judgments. Psalm 119:48. My hands also I will lift to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Now, the drooping down hands are a picture of neglect, a picture of someone who treats lightly. Hands that droop down, hanging down hands, are hands that treat lightly. But when David speaks of, I will lift up my hands, it means to lay hold upon. It means to receive and embrace God's word, to embrace God's promises cheerfully and vigorously. So David is saying, when my soul is melting with heaviness, I embrace your promises vigorously. I will meditate on thy statutes. And that means my deepest thoughts, as well as my hands, shall be exercised in them. I will focus upon your ways, O Lord. Oh, I like the next one. When people speak against me, When people were speaking against David, what did he do? What does he do? And he says it in verse 23. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Oh, when people criticize you, meditate on the word. Meditate on his statutes. Even if it's a prince that's criticizing you, meditate upon the word, upon his statutes. Oh, this is such a wonderful, the word given to us freely. It's just the gift of all gifts. What do I do? The next one, what do I do when I'm treated wrongfully? When I'm treated unfairly? Oh, when people are so unfair, what do I do? And we see that in verse 78. Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood, but I will meditate upon your precepts. Oh, when they criticize us, don't listen to the criticism. Open God's word and meditate upon the precepts, and peace will come to your heart and you will be established. David started his day with prayer. He started his day with meditation upon the word, and he saw that this was of such great value that often we read that David stayed awake all night in prayer and meditation. The gods changed. He saw the gods come, he saw the gods go, but he didn't change his occupation, his occupation of devotion and meditation on the Lord. Meditation has, for David and for all of us, meditation is our spiritual nourishment. It was his daily bread and his drink. Meditation fed his hope, comforted him in sorrow. He was always strengthened when he treasured and rejoiced in the word of God. And this was more important to him than even sleep. Oh, than even sleep, he saw it more important to be in prayer and to be in meditation. It fueled the fire of devotion. When you pray, what is so helpful is to take the scriptures and to just begin to pray the scriptures. It fuels your prayer. It strengthens your prayer. You pray deeper. You pray with more zeal. It's such a wonderful way to pray. How we need this in our own lives, what David had. How we need to have this prayer and meditation. May we pray for this. May we ask for this. May it not be forgotten in the age in which we live today. If David had it, we can have it. I need to move on fast because of time. The next heading, read and apply. Read and apply. Scripture should be personally applied. Don't read it for others. See yourself in its warnings, in its promises, and in its doctrines. Ask yourself, how do I apply what I have read? How do I apply these truths to my own life? Don't say to yourself, oh, this is really what Sister so-and-so needs to hear, but not for me. No, if you've read it, you need to hear it. It's one thing to know the truth. It's one thing to be zealous about them. Many people are zealous about the doctrines. But are they yours? Do they order your footsteps? Is God's word hidden in your heart? Do you have personal interest in the truth of God? And do we read our Bibles like we would read a doctor's prescription? Supposing you came from the hospital and the doctor had written, after meals, take 2 tablets. At night, before bed, take 3 of these. You would follow it diligently. You would do what the prescription says. Oh, well, when we read the precious Word of God, it's His prescription for our daily walk. We must not just say, that's very interesting. We must do. We must be doers of the Word. We must apply the Word and do exactly what it says. Never let your Bible be another man's Bible. Let it be your own Bible. Let it be God's mouth speaking to your soul the direction that you need to know for your life, for your soul's peace. Let's move on to the next heading. Read and practice. Read and practice. Reading without obedience leads to condemnation. The Christian life should reflect the teachings of the Scripture. Not only does it strengthen us when we read the Scripture, but do you know there are people watching our lives? Ungodly people who will never open a Bible. The only Bible that they will read is the truth that they see displayed in the Christian's life. And you and I, we must hold fast to the teachings and be doers and practice the teachings of God's Word, and we will shine brightly in a crooked and a perverse generation. Being a doer of God's Word will make us useful to the church and also useful to the world. Read and practice, but we are only to do this by the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do it in our own strength. Well, this again, I come to a heading that we have covered to a degree, read and pray. We covered much of this in the first point, that we read with dependence upon the Holy Spirit. But a further point is that we learn so much more by prayer than by any other activity. When we are anxious, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. When there are things that we don't know, when there are situations that we are anxious about, we call upon Him in prayer and He will show us great and mighty things. There are some things hard to understand in life, very hard to understand, that only prayer can break them up and only prayer can bring an answer. Now, I read a story, a little story about a stonebreaker in the 1600s that would work from morning to night on his knees, breaking flintstone with a hammer into pieces. And the preacher came up and watched him for a while and said to that stonebreaker, "Our work is very similar." And the stonebreaker said, "How is that? How is the work of a preacher similar to my work? We break up hard things. We break up difficult situations by prayer." "Yes," said the stonebreaker. "Yes, that's what I'm doing. And I'm doing it the only way that it can be done, on my knees." And there are some things that can only be done on our knees. Prayer should not be made only to understand the Bible. Prayer should be made to receive the practical application for our souls. God's Word is like a treasure chest, and the key to that treasure chest is prayer. And as we pray, that treasure chest is opened and we receive from Him. When we read and when we pray, it's like a man that advances on both feet. Two legs, two feet, he advances. It's like a bird that flies with both wings, prayer and reading God's word. And I will say it again, just to make it more clear, to only read and not pray is not profitable. To pray without reading is not soul enriching. But when the two go together, we will advance swiftly with energy and with joy. Every Christian must read and pray. Now, lastly, or as we come to the towards the end, read and try, or read and test. Try what you read. Try what you read. There's a story of an old lady that's often attributed to D.L. Moody, the old preacher. And this old lady left her Bible, a well-read, well-thumbed Bible, to her grandchild after her death. And the grandchild treasured this Bible, but she was puzzled because on many of the pages, in fact, almost all the pages, were written the letters T.P. And she said, "Mommy, what does that mean, T.P.? And apparently whenever the old grandmother would get a promise of God, she would try it and she would prove it. And when she put T.P., it meant that this is tried and proven and true and has worked in my life. On every page of God's word is tried and proven. Oh, the scripture is so valuable, so valuable. The word of God is, another example, is the acid test for everything. The acid test for everything. What does that mean? In the old days when people would dig for gold, they would take their gold to sell their gold, and the buyers would have little bottles of acid. They would pour the acid into a bowl and they would say, "Where's the gold you are selling?" They would place that gold in the acid. And if the acid would bubble and fizz and eat up that metal, it wasn't gold. But if it was pure gold, it would remain. The acid couldn't touch it. Oh, for the Christian, the word of God is the acid test. Scripture tests everything and shows the validity of everything. We should always have Scripture near to test every teaching that we hear, everything that we are faced with. We don't just go by opinions, we go by Scripture. Our opinions conform to God's Word. We never change the Word to make it suitable to our opinions. No, our opinions change and become suitable to God's word. And if we try to change God's word, that's not reverence, that's not respect. And we are to treat God's word with reverence and the uttermost respect. And we are to not change it or neglect an aspect of it just because it's difficult or hard. We should be like the noble Bereans. We read about them in Acts 17 and verse 11. "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness. They searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." To find out whether these things were so. Oh, we need to search the scriptures, measure everything by scripture. And I'll give you one more and then we will close. Read and tell out. Read and tell out. Share what you learn with others. If you read a passage of Scripture that encourages you, share it with someone. Share it with your neighbor. Share it with somebody that's next door that's maybe sick. Go and share that Scripture with them. Share it with a relative. And as you share that truth with someone, that truth will become more cemented and established in your life. Because as you say it, as you share it, it becomes clearer unto you. And in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. Those that feared the Lord, they spoke to one another. While it doesn't say exactly what they spoke to one another, it does say that they feared the Lord. They feared the Lord. And it must have been what they spoke was edifying, useful to build people up. It was speaking of God's mercy, His justice, His patience, His holiness, His wisdom. It wasn't chaff, it was wheat. Do you know many times after a church service, after a meeting, there's so much talk that goes on, and so much of it is chaff and not wheat. Oh, if we would talk more about God's word amongst ourselves, we would grow much faster. We would grow to be much stronger, much wiser in the things of the kingdom. Oh, if we would talk God's word amongst ourselves. And in closing, I want to mention this to those who are not converted, to those who are not born again. There are wonderful testimonies that we read about of men and women who have come to the Lord Jesus Christ simply by reading the Scriptures, simply by practicing these principles and thinking about what they have read and maybe praying about what they have read. The Scriptures are revelation from God, and they are able to make wise unto salvation. The book of God is, the Bible is full of truth and grace and is able to lead us to the knowledge of salvation. Amen.